Like coming out of a beautiful worship song and time at the Lord's table, it's kind of hard to get up here and go, woo, let's go. But man, you're in the right place for that too. Do y'all believe God loves you this morning? I mean, really believe God loves you, the person sitting in your chair today. It makes it so easy to worship a God who would give everything for us, who will come to meet us right where we are. Not just on a weekly basis on a Sunday morning, but on a daily basis, every single time we lift our hearts to him, he comes and he meets us right where we are because he loves us. He loves us. He can't love you anymore. He can't love you any less. God is love. And I want you to know that this morning. I want you to know that because as we talk about Jesus, we got to know that is like the embodiment of God's love on earth, that he would give his one and only son for you and for me, that Jesus would literally come from heaven to earth and put on flesh and die on a cross for your sins and mine and rise from the grave after 3 days to walk the earth and to preach and to teach and give us a mission to accomplish and then ascend to heaven where he's at the right hand of God right now. That's the God who loves you and loves me. And it's so important as we wrap up this series to know that because we're talking about walking his way. We're talking about walking in the way of God who is love, walking in the way of Jesus who gave his life for others. It's been a real, just for me, I think it's been a real edifying, really building up, as Frank said, a building up kind of series. And I get the privilege of wrapping the series up today, a series that captures the mission and the heartbeat of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the one and only. And Jesus, when he came to earth, he called his disciples to literally walk his way in his teachings, in his love. So you need to know this morning here at CCW, man, we are a Christ-centric, Jesus-following, disciple-making family. That's who we are. So here we go. This is going to be nothing new to you. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at, I want to call him Diagram Man, all right? So here he is. Yeah, I'm glad he's not doing the side thing, or you might see his like pot belly, but that's Diagram Man right there, right? This is the picture of a disciple of Jesus, and this is our call to follow him. When we talk about being a disciple, we're talking about allowing Jesus to transform every part of our life, our head, our heart, our hands. That's what we've been talking about these last few weeks, and our feet as well. To follow Jesus means that we are being changed by Jesus. And it means that we are on mission for Jesus. That was his call to his disciples. So how do we define disciple? I mean, if you were to look in the mirror and say, am I a disciple? Am I following Jesus? Here's kind of a working definition that we've been using around here at CCW. Disciple of Jesus is someone who is following Jesus as Lord. Are you following Jesus as Lord? Are you following Jesus as Lord? Are you? Are you being transformed by his spirit in you? Are you being united? Are you united with his church? And are you committed to growing his kingdom? If so, you're a follower of Jesus. Matthew 4:19, Jesus calls his first disciples right after he comes out of the wilderness and he approaches these fishermen and he says to come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will change you into something. I will change you into the church, into someone who's growing his kingdom. This is transformational. We can't follow Jesus and not be changed. So today, the question is, are you a follower of Jesus? Truly. And I know I'm coming in hot right now. I'm just kind of like not even, we have been in this series 5 weeks. I hope you have heard the message. Because if you say yes to that question, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian. I am an apprentice of the Son of God. If you say yes, that means that you have confessed him and continue to confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. You've turned away from your old life. You've turned away from sin and you've surrendered your entire life to him. In biblical baptism. If you say you're a Christian and you've never been immersed in Christ, you might not be following Jesus. Because Jesus himself was about, you want to walk in his way? Do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus said. All of you, head, heart, body, soul, spirit, forgiven and free to live in Jesus. All in. All in. And if you're not, If you're not, this morning, I just want you to know you've got a chance to do that today, right now. You have a chance to go all in as a follower of Jesus. I don't just say it. In fact, anytime during the service, even during the sermon, at the end of the message, you come forward. You come out. You speak to the person next to you and say, hey, I am all in on this. I believe in Jesus. Now, if you're a first-time guest and maybe learning about Jesus for the first time and you're still processing that, I understand. This is for the person sitting in the chair today who needs to assess where are we in our walk with Jesus. Are we walking his way? And you can come down today and do that. Go all in. Confess him as Lord. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Be forgiven and free to live for him. And if you are a baptized believer, you have decided, listen, you made that decision to walk his way. This means that your choices, the way that you think, the things that you put in your brain are different today by walking with Jesus. He has changed you and continues to do so. The things you love with your heart are different. How you love others and serve God with your hands is different. The way you behave with your body is changed by Jesus. Look, you've heard the word. You've heard the sermons. If you're a Christ follower, I just want to encourage you, don't just want to follow Jesus. Don't just think about following Jesus, say you're following Jesus, or even look like you're following Jesus. It is time for you and I to go all in and truly, literally follow Jesus. It's time to walk his way. That's what the church is all about. We're here to help each other do that, to build each other up and help each other walk the way of Jesus. And today you can go to the Next Step station, talk to Josh and his team. You can come forward and get prayer. You can call during the week. Or maybe today, once and for all and forever, you want to be baptized into Christ and live for him. You can do that today. But you have to move. You've got to move your feet. Your feet. And that's what today is all about. Today is about our feet. Now, last week, Linwood talked about our heart and our hands and how we can serve God with them. And a couple weeks ago, Josh talked about the heart, and it was really good what he did. He showed us like the history of Valentine's Day. Remember this? And he showed us pictures of the heart and and all that kind of stuff on Valentine's. And look, I'm not going to do that for feet today. I'm not going to do that. There's not a lot of feet fans out there. All right. Feet are not the logo for any holiday that I know of. All right. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not even sure I like my own feet, as a matter of fact, but, and maybe you can go with that. But God says in Romans 10, through Paul, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, I'm either going to take God's word or I'm going to go ahead and assume that the Apostle Paul never saw my feet. All right. So nothing special about these things, to say the least. But I want to do something today, if it's all right with you. And I'm having deja vu, like maybe I've done this before, but I'm going to go ahead and take my shoes and socks off. Is that all right? All right. Look, and I want to give you permission to do the same. All right. Come on. Yep. You don't have to. This isn't a biblical command. But if today's the day you want to go barefoot, you can go for it. All y'all. All y'all beach people, come on now, all right. I don't see a whole lot of action. Okay, that's better. All right. Ah. Woo, that feels good. Ah. Yes. I didn't realize how white those things were. Man, I might be in trouble. Look, when it comes to following Jesus, our love, our devotion, our commitment will move. It'll move from our heads to our hearts, to our hands, eventually to our feet. When we decide to move, to get out, and to serve him wherever we are. This means that we're gonna walk his way, committed to live as Christ followers, where we live, where we work, and where we play, all in. We need to be where our feet are. And sometimes our feet need to be where we need to be for God. Let's move. Today we're not just talking about these things that are attached, these appendages that are attached to our ankles. We're talking about a literal shift in our thinking as a disciple of Jesus, as a Christ follower, and how we will experience what we experience when we walk his way. to literally move and go, when we literally send. We do the things God called us to do where he calls us to do them. Now, we've been hearing about this all month long in the book of Acts. All right, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. If you can find it, there's Bibles under your chairs. You can find it in the one that you're holding in your hand, but the book of Acts. And I really love this because all throughout the last 5 weeks, we've seen the disciples of Jesus moving. We've seen their feet moving. Peter, you might remember this, Acts chapter 2, he moved to preach at Pentecost in Jerusalem, and people got 3,000 people were baptized. A church is launched. After that, Acts chapter 6, Linwood talked about this. We see the deacons moving. They're serving the widows, the orphans. They're taking care of the things around. In chapter 7, we talked about this last week. Stephen, he moves. He actually literally is martyred. He's killed for his faith as he preaches God's word. Acts chapter 8, we talked about how Philip heard from the Spirit and he moved to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch and he was baptized. Josh talked a few weeks ago about the Apostle Paul. He meets Jesus. He's blinded and he moves his feet. He goes to Ananias and he's baptized into Christ. He becomes a Christ follower, and not just any Christ follower, but one that would literally become a world-changing preacher. That's the story we've been seeing as the disciples experience this shift from their heads to their heart to their hands to their feet, led by the Holy Spirit and walking his way. The good news of Jesus and his kingdom spread like wildfire to places like Antioch. And we read about the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 11. The disciples have been, the Christians have been persecuted. They've been scattered and they have found their way to Antioch to establish a church there in Acts chapter 11. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But this brings us to our chapter today, and it's Acts 13. Acts 13. So go ahead and turn there. Acts 13, we're only gonna look at three verses, verses 1-3. And in these verses, I want us to see what we learn from these disciples in the church at Antioch, whose feet were walking in the way of Jesus. Verse 1, first thing we see is that their feet were feet of all kinds, all kinds. I'm looking around, I'm guessing there's feet of all kinds in this room today, and this church in Antioch was no different. Verse 1, listen to what it says. It says, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. These were followers of Jesus who had been, again, persecuted, scattered, and now they were here. Antioch, by the way, was the first place that these followers of the way of Jesus were called Christians, was Antioch. And the leaders there, they're now devoted to preaching and teaching God's word. And we have a list here, verse 1. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So who are these guys? Well, Barnabas is known as the encourager. Earlier in Acts, we learned that Barnabas was a Jewish convert. He came to Christ and was now, by this time, one of the older, more respected leaders in this young church. Acts 11, 19 through 26 describe him as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, Barnabas. He was also a traveling partner with Paul. We'll talk about him in a minute. Simeon, called Niger, was identified by his black skin, probably a Gentile follower of Jesus of African descent. Feet of a different kind. Lucius of Cyrene, probably one of the Hellenistic Jews that came to Christ earlier in the book of Acts. Linwood talked about these Hellenistic Jews last week and just how different they were from the typical traditional Jewish converts. Manaen, who is this guy? Well, Luke describes him here as a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, which means Manaen probably grew up in a political culture around the wealthy. I mean, to be friends and grow up with Herod. You know who Herod is, right? I mean, Herod is the ruler of the Roman Empire. Herod was the one involved in the trials of Jesus. So Manaen grew up in that kind of environment and had now become a Christian. And then Saul of Tarsus. Now, Josh gave us some of his background story a couple weeks ago, Acts chapter 9. Saul was a lead Pharisee, a killer of Christians. Then he came to Christ, became a follower of Christ, began to walk in his way, became one of the most powerful preachers in the history of the world. We call him Paul today, the Apostle Paul. This is a great example from the disciples of Antioch of what it means to walk his way. We walk with people of all backgrounds, and we walk together. Two words, diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. See, by Acts 13, the good news of Jesus had penetrated every level and barrier that society had set up. It crossed over and blended together all economic, social, religious, and racial barriers. The church, no distinction. I believe this is how we are to walk his way. Diversity and unity. It's also who we are to walk with. See, Jesus leads us to love all people because all people need Jesus. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. This is just a tribute to their togetherness. Jesus had brought them together all in. Again, their head, their heart, their hands, to love God, to serve as the body of Christ, to worship him together, to go out into the community, and even to fast together. And when these three verses we're going to look at today, fasting is mentioned twice. Twice. So I want to go ahead and just talk about fasting for a second. See, fasting, if you don't know, is just a way to take our attention, our desire, our trust off of the things in this world, the things that our flesh might need, like food, and then use that time and use that energy to instead focus on God, to trust him. We talk about walking the way of Jesus. Jesus fasted. His disciples fasted. And I'm not going to go into detail on this. You can study this. We can talk about it later. But fasting in scripture is almost always a way, or usually involves stopping food, eating food. We just eat, whether skipping a meal or skipping a day, or in Jesus' case, 40 days and 40 nights. But it doesn't have to be food. There's other ways to fast. You could fast from screens, your cell phone, TV, computer, video games. Whoa, I'd rather stop eating, thanks, you know. But instead of the time we spend, the energy we spend doing that, we now spend that time, depending on God. See, fasting is a way to worship God, and it's done in partnership with prayer in scripture. Time that we'd spend doing that thing, like eating, we pray. We go to God's word and we read it. We pursue the presence of God. We experience that same hunger that we're feeling inside. Now we experience that hunger for him. That's what fasting's all about. And I would challenge you to consider doing that. I would challenge you to consider fasting, especially times when spiritual focus is needed, or you're facing an important decision that needs to be made, or maybe even as a regular spiritual practice during your week, during your month, to draw you closer to God. I think that's what's happening here in Acts 13. There were some important things happening, and fasting was part of that. See, while the disciples in Antioch were doing the work that God called them to do, while they were worshiping, another way that verse is interpreted is serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord, and they were fasting. So watch what happens next, verse 2, their feet. Not just feet of all kinds, but they were feet guided by the Spirit. Feet guided by the Spirit. Look at verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, he's speaking right here. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do. Guided by the Spirit. Now, I don't know how this works exactly, the Holy Spirit speaking and all that kind of thing, but I do know what happens. And maybe you do too. And it also, if I'm reading this right, it happens when they're serving, when they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. Interesting. Now, we want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, right? And here at CCW, we have a core value called Spirit-led living. It's important to us as we walk his way. See, before we move and as we move, we need to stay in step with the Spirit like God tells us to do. Galatians 5 tells us to stay in step with the Spirit. And as we do this, he will bear his fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of us. See, God's Spirit will guide us and grow us. So like these guys in Acts 13, I just want to encourage us to slow down and seek his guidance. Slow down and listen for him. See, if you want direction, we need to remember that Spirit guidance flows downstream from the presence of God. This means making sure that we are moving with God before we get moving for God. Make sure we're moving with God before we get moving for God. See, the Bible tells us that God's Holy Spirit lives within the baptized Christ follower. The Holy Spirit literally guides those who follow the Lord Jesus, those of us who walk his way. He promises he'll guide us. This means that, he meets us in our need. He meets us in our pain. He meets us when we're celebrating and enjoying the day. And he meets us in our decisions. And he leads us through everything we go through before, during, and after we go. Before, during, and after we do. So make time to listen for the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, when we take time to listen for the Holy Spirit, a shift literally happens from our head to our heart to our hands to our feet. And then, praise the Lord, man, when we are guided by his Spirit, we can't sit still. We can't sit still. When he says move, we move. See, we're not just here, and we're not just here, especially this morning, to sit and to get moved by the Spirit. We're not just here to move and to listen to God's word together. We're here to literally get out of here, to move out. We say this on Sundays, to go be the church. That's what this means. It means to go out into the world and walk his way, make a difference for him and for his kingdom. We are here to literally move out of here, to share the hope of Jesus with all people. Disciples of Jesus move their feet. We move from gathering together to going. We move from sitting to sending, from sitting to sharing and serving in love. Here in Acts 13, God's Spirit is guiding these disciples, especially Barnabas and Saul. We see them literally listening and doing this next step. These two men were ready to listen to the Spirit and take their next step. And they don't even have the entire picture. They don't know what we know from the last part of the book of Acts. We don't know where we're going or what they're doing. And this is exactly how God works. He says, look, step slowly, faithfully, closely. Trust me. Trust the Spirit who calls you one step at a time. And let's see what step these two men were about to take. Verses 3 and 4, because these are feet that are about to go on a mission. As we walk his way, feet going on a mission. Verse 3, then after fasting and praying, here it is again, after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. They went. After fasting, after praying, they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. They came together, diverse, unified, guided by the Holy Spirit. There's this laying on of hands and setting them apart, encouragement, together, saying like we're all in on this. As I read through this, I think about every sports team that I've ever been a part of, I've played on, or I've coached. And maybe you can relate to this. But before every game, in fact, after every game, we'd put our hands together. We would lay hands on each other's hands. Y'all feeling me? You know what I'm talking about? And we would say, all right, you guys ready? On 1, 2, 3. We're together. As diverse as we are, we're unified in this moment to get on that court, to get on that field, and to play together, to do what needs to get done. Here at CCW, our impact team, it's a football team. We're famous for this. Everywhere we go, we lay hands. We say, all right, on 3, CCW. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, CCW. And everybody throws their hands up in the air, and you can hear it all around wherever we are. It's awesome. 1, 2, 3, CCW. And everybody has, they come laying our hands together, showing this team, this energy that we have. Saul and Barnabas were experiencing this from the church in Antioch. And Saul and Barnabas were the all-stars, by the way. Like these guys were, they're highly educated, influential Christ followers that Antioch church would dearly miss. Like they weren't throwing the scrubs out there, all right? These guys were the best of the best. And it's clear through that, to me, it's clear that it's the Holy Spirit is the one sending them. I mean, can you imagine saying, hey, who are we going to send? Nope, not Paul, not Barnabas. They need to stay. Okay, looking around. Nope. Man, are you kidding me? You two? That's what's going down here. But when God says send, you send. When he says go, you go. When God says move, you move. Your feet. Acts 13, this is a moment that defined history. The willingness of these two disciples to be sent to go set the stage for the rest of the scriptures that we see in the Bible, for the rest of the book of Acts. Barnabas and Saul were set apart and were sent off as missionaries. They would travel together over 15,000 miles around the world. They would spread God's word, the good news of Jesus, to Jews and Gentiles alike. They would teach God's word. They would face persecution and imprisonment in Rome. They would start churches. They would encourage believers, and they would forever change the world as we know it. And essentially, the eternity of billions and billions of Christ followers ever since. Acts 13. Fasting. Praying. Sending. Going. That's what it means to walk his way. This is the call of every disciple of Jesus. And it's right here, right now with you and I. Their story is our story. Our feet. Of all kinds. Diverse. Unified. Worshiping. Serving. Loving. Praying. With feet. Guided by the Spirit. A people on the mission of Jesus. It's probably no secret our mission statement here are the words of Jesus himself. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said, his authority is over all of us. By his authority over heaven and earth, the supreme authority of Jesus, he says to go and to make disciples of all nations, feet of all kinds. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He's with us always through his Spirit to the very end of the age. Walking his way means we go all in and then we go all out. All out to our neighbors. Y'all got neighbors? How can we love our neighbors in the name of Jesus? If you're a student, how can you walk his way at school? Maybe the only one in your class that's not cursing. Maybe you're the only one not gossiping. Maybe the only one that's set apart or reaching out to that one student that's getting bullied. Maybe you're the one student. Walk his way at school, at work. Whether you're an employee or a business owner, how can you walk his way starting tomorrow morning? When you go in, I'm so proud of our business owners that have decided that where they work, where the business they set up, man, that is going to be a place where God comes first. We're going to walk his way. They pray together before they go onto the floor and sell things or cut hair or whatever they do. Walk his way. The team you play on, the stores you shop in, the house you live in, the family that God made you a part of, to share the hope of Jesus with all people. Move your feet. Go with the feet of Jesus and walk his way. Now, if we're listening and watching and seeing what happens in Acts chapter 13, that means that our next step is going to be to fast and pray. In order to walk his way, we need to fast and we need to pray. And we need to pray for our own feet because it starts with us. We need to pray about where we can go. You, right? You in your chair. Where can you go? Who will you go to? What will you say when you serve them in love? What kind of things will come out of you as you serve and love and walk to them? To whom will you go? What will you do? When will you go? As you live and work and play for Jesus. Let's pray about that this week. Don't miss it. I'd also encourage you to fast and pray for others who have been sent out into our community and around the world. We've got dear brothers and sisters who are sitting in right where you're sitting, right here, right now, that are all around our country, leading churches, who have moved with their family to other churches and are now serving in those churches and becoming leaders and elders and disciple makers there. We've got missionaries around the world, like my friend Vivek. And I want you to maybe you know and remember Vivek Lal over in India. But Vivek is in a time of persecution right now. The eyes of the government are watching him and the mission that we support. So pray for him this week. Maybe do without a meal. Maybe skip lunch one day and just take that time to pray for him. Fast and pray. Pray for our Disciples Maker Summit this week. You know, this is happening this weekend. In fact, you're still invited to sign up for that if this is something you're interested in, but this is an important shift for us as we move from our head, our heart, our hands to our feet and begin to make disciples in a different way. And I'm so proud of Josh and the things that are coming together for that summit. Fast and pray. And today is a special Sunday because we're literally watching this Acts 13 scenario play out before our eyes here at CCW. We're going to do that right now. Chris and Andrea Freeman, dear friends of ours, and as you know, they're precious leaders here at CCW, dear friends of mine, and you probably know Chris because he's on our preaching team. He's up here once a month sharing God's word with us. As an ordained pastor and elder here at CCW, he has married some of you. I thought this was going to be easier. He's done some funerals for your family. He's been by your bedside with his wife, Andrea. They've prayed for you. They've ministered to you. They come up here and they pray with you. Just dear, dear friends of ours. And we've been glad to be a part of the ministry team here at CCW together. And by the way, all on a volunteer basis. See, Chris has a full-time job at Rasmussen College. He is literally, his feet move there every single week, and he's the light of the world there at the school as an administrator. Andrea, for decades, has been a teacher here in Hernando County and has moved her feet into the classrooms of our youngest kids and shared Jesus with them. They've led small groups, been on mission trips. They've done what God has called them to do and moved their feet where he has told them to go in hundreds of selfless ways. They're deeply loved and appreciated. Now, over the past year, they've been, while serving, while worshiping here, they've also been fasting and praying and listening to the Holy Spirit because they've been given an opportunity to go back to their home state and lead a church there. A church, by the way, that's currently being led by one of their mentors in the faith. What an honor to be called into that place. Over the last couple months, they've been fasting, they've been praying, they've been exploring that possibility with the Holy Spirit, and he has called them there. So here in a few weeks, Chris and Andrea will be leaving us here at CCW to go back to their home state, to take a church there, and to take Jesus to the people there in Greenville, South Carolina that need to hear the gospel, that need to know the hope of Jesus. So right now, I'm gonna invite them to come up to the stage. Yeah. And I'm going to ask our elders to come here, if you're in the audience. Also, some of our pastoral staff, if you'd like to come up as well. And I know I don't have a fancy chair up here for you guys. You sit on a stool. And we're going to do what was modeled in Acts 13 today. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray with them. And we would ask you to join us in sending them out. So again, they're gonna be here for a few more weeks. In fact, we're gonna have a carry-in dinner, a kind of a reception type thing for them on March 17th, right after second service. So we'll have more info on that in the next couple weeks. But Chris, I'm gonna ask you if you'd like to share anything. I don't know. You don't have to.
Yeah. What's happened, I want you all to know that this church and each and every one of you have been a part of this. It's been a training ground for us. And I sincerely want to thank you all for everything that you all have done for us, the prayers, the encouragement. And it's not a separation. He's a God of multiplication and duplication. So just know that a part of you is going to be going to South Carolina to speak to the lives of others. So thank you so much for what you've done.
Mm-hmm. All right. We don't rehearse these kind of things, I promise. So we're just gonna take a moment to lay hands on Chris, and we'd ask you to do the same. Just pray with us. Just send them out, guys.
If you would extend your hand as a way of joining us and surrounding Chris and Andrea, of being connected, connection through the Holy Spirit who lives in the heart of everyone who has died to themselves and now lives through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this calling to move beyond ourselves. Jesus says, you'll know my disciples because they deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Lord, we give you thanks for the many ways that Chris and Andrea have denied themselves over and over and over again. How they are also teachers by being transparent in showing how they've been called to take up a cross and chose to follow in the way of Christ. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit has come into their hearts, but not just into their hearts, into their hands, their heads, and now their feet, as they leave this community of faith to go in faith to where the Lord Jesus Christ is sending them. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we pray that as they walk during the nights and the days, the conversations and the gatherings, that others will know that the Spirit of the living God is within their hearts. And because of that, it is no longer they that live, but Christ in them.
Father, I thank you so much for the time that you've had Chris and Andrea here with us. And I just think about the people up in South Carolina that don't yet know who you are. And if we know these two, we know that there's going to be some serious outreach going on up there, Lord. And you're just going to use their gifts and their talents and the love they have for others to grow his church. And I just pray for the future of the church that Chris and Andrea are going to. And I pray for the people that don't yet know you. And Lord, it's just been awesome to be a part of the lives of these two. And we pray for every step they make going forward. And pray for what the future looks like for us here at CCW as well. It's in Jesus' name.
Father God, we will miss Chris and Andrea, but we know they're doing your work. We ask for peace, for comfort, for safe travels, for protection as they travel up to this new church, and have the Holy Spirit guide them and help them spread the word up there. We pray this in Jesus' name.
As we continue in prayer this morning, my Father, I thank you for just knowing Chris and Andrea, and I very personal, and the church has known them in a spiritual way. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them. I pray that you continue to use them. I pray that your Holy Spirit be upon them. And I ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen. And amen. Amen.
Chris and Andrea will be around, obviously, and just want to encourage you, take whatever your next step might be. Let's get moving. Thanks.